Beginning of Parshas Emor, we have the din that Kohanim are not permitted to be metamei lemeisim unless it's one of the Zayin Krovim. It says Lachos Hapsulo Shelohos Elish Lo Yitamo. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds Lo Yitamo's Rishus. If the Kohen wants to, he's permitted to attend the funeral. And we pass on like Rabbi Kiva, Lo Yitamo's a chayva. Even if he doesn't want to, he's mechuyev to participate in the funeral. So the Ravid is bothered with Akasha when Nadav Avihu died. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, Yishol v'Tzofen, should go take the body out. And the father and the brothers, Aaron HaKohen was a Kohen Gadol. So Aaron HaKohen, we know, is not allowed to be metame, even to the Zayin Krovim, only permitted to be metame to a Meis Mitzvah. But the brothers were Kohanim Had Yoytim, so why were they not? Why were they not mekayim the mitzvah of lo yitam achayvah? So the Ravid gives two terutzim. The Ramban al Torah quotes this whole Ravid word for word without identifying that he's quoting the Ravid. Every so often he does that. Every so often on Chumash, the Ravid has a commentary on the Torah's Kohanim. That's the same Ravid who wrote the Hasogas on the Rambam, wrote the commentary on the Torah's Kohanim. The Ramban, this is famous from the Ramban, but the whole thing comes from the Ravid. Every so often, the Mohammeds also will quote a big chunk of the Ravid without identifying who is quoting. Apparently, everybody knew. Everybody was familiar with the Ravid. So the Ravid gives two answers. He says, one answer, maybe it's Ohira Shor, because it was Shmini Lemiluim Shalol Arbeiv Simchas Shalmokim. It was like a wedding. The Shmini Lemiluim, the Shivas Mei Miluim, were the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar. This was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Also, Yom Notal Eser Atoris, Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. That was the first day that the Mishkan was functioning normally, that the Kohanim were doing the Avodah. So one suggestion the Rabbi gives is Shalol Arbev Simchas Shalmokim. So that's why they weren't allowed to be Metam. Then he gives another answer, no, that since they all needed Mashiach, so the Alpidin, they were not allowed to be Metami Lameisim, like a Mashiach Mochama. Mashiach Mochama, the Gemara discusses in Yuma, next to the last Perek, I forgot, it's a little Perek, a very short Perek. So the Gemara has there, what are the dinim of Mashiach Mochama? Some dinim has like a Kohen Gadol, most of the dinim has like a Kohen Hedyot. He does avoid the David Begodim. Mashiach Mochama doesn't wear Shemayna Begodim. It was David Begodim. Is he machzer as haratzeach? Let's say someone killed Bishegi, goes to the Ori Miklot, and the Mashiach Muhammad dies. Let's say there was an old Kohen Gadol who retired, he's an old man, then he appointed a new Kohen Gadol. So the old Kohen Gadol is also a Kohen Gadol, even though he's not functioning. They never fired him. He's retired, so they don't salary him anymore. He's living on pension. But usually you have to salary the Kohen Gadol because he has to pay for the Minchas Chavitin every day. So the job requires, he has to spend a fortune of money every single day. He has to pay for Minchas Chalitim. So you have to give him money. So the old Kohen Gadol who retired isn't salaried anymore, but he still has the status of the Kohen Gadol. So if either the old Kohen Gadol or the new Kohen Gadol dies, the Ratzeach B'Shegeg can go home. He doesn't have to stay in the Ori Mikvah. What if the Mashiach Muhammad died? So I think it could be, it's a Machlokes HaTanoim in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Makkos, maybe. I think the din is that the Mashiach Muhammad is Machzer Saratzeach. So the Gemara discusses which dinim is he. So one of the dinim is that he's not allowed to be Metamei, even to the Zayin Krovim. So the Ramban quotes this from the Ravid, that Elozavi Yisomar, even though they were Kadim Had Yoytim, but they all needed Mashiach. You don't need Mashiach if you're born, if your father was a Kohen before you, and your father has, you're born to your father, then you don't need Mashiach, because your father had, or your grandfather, your great-grandfather. I'm a descendant of someone that had Mashiach, B'Shem and Amishcha. But here they were beginning. We're all born before Aaron became a Kohen. He wasn't a Kohen yet when they were born. He became a Kohen later in life. So the children who were born later to Aaron HaKohen will be naturally born Kohanim. But they were born before, so they only needed Mashiach. So whoever has Mashiach has, that's how they say B'Shem Abchaim. Whoever has Mashiach has Kedusha as Kain Gadol without Shem Kain Gadol. They weren't Memana them as Kain Gadol. Elazar v'Yisamar were Kainim had Yotim. They didn't have, they were not appointed by the Bez Nagadol. That was Moshe Rabbeinu had the din of Bez Nagadol. They were not appointed as Kain Gadol, but they had Kedusha as Kain Gadol because they had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. So there are, and that's how Abchaim explained this Ramban. Not that there are three kinds of Kohen, and there's a Kohen Gadol, there's a Kohen Yehid, and then there's a Kohen in the middle who has some of the dinim like this one, some of the dinim like that one. It's not that it's a new kind of a Kohen Gadol. New kind of a Kohen. Mashiach Mochama. There's a Kohen Hedyot, and then there's a Kohen Gadol who has Kedusha's Kohen Gadol. And that's accomplished either through Mashiach B'Shem and Amishra through Ribud B'Gadim. And then there's Minoy Kohen Gadol. There's a Shem Kohen Gadol. Who appoints him? So Tesis and Yuma is not sure. And Daf Yud Aleph Tesis says either Sanhedrin or Echav HaKohanim. But they quote a Yerushalmi, just like he's Misman B'Peh, he can be Mistalik B'Peh. Whoever appoints him can fire him. Usually you're not allowed to fire a Kohen Gadol. Even if he doesn't deserve to continue, you don't fire him because Manam HaKodesh V'lo Morid. Sometimes it's a Bizoyan, so you have to fire him. So the Mishnah, where's the Mishnah? Mishnah probably increases. There's a din of Par Kohen Mashiach in Parshas VaYikra. If the Kohen Gadol was Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigeg, so he's not Miskapa B'Kizbo Osir. If I'm Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigeg, I'm a Hedyot, so I bring Kizbo Osira. If I eat Chelev, I eat Dam B'Shoigeg. Anyone who violates an Issa Koris B'Shoigeg has to bring Kizbo Osira, unless he's the Melech, Soyer Nasi, the Nasi is the Melech, or unless he's the Mashuach, Kohen Mashiach, Kohen Gadol, he's miskapa bepar Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah in Krisis discusses what if he did the Avera while he was a Kohen Gadol, and then they fired him, and now he's a Kohen Hedyot, and he's bringing the carbon now. So when was the idea? When did he come to the realization that he did the Aveir B'Shoigeg? The idea is Mechayev Yo. The Pasuk says, Ahod Elav Chatos HaShachato Aleo in Parshas Beikra. Yediya Sachet is Mechayev in the Tshuva. So the Mishnah discusses that. What if the Yediya Sachet was while he was still a Kohen Gadol, but he's not Makar of the Korban until he's fired already. So you see that there is such a thing as firing a Kohen Gadol. In rare cases, they have to fire him. So that's what the Ramban is quoting the Ravid, that Elazar v'Yisamar were Kohanim had Yotim, but they all had Mashiach. All five had to have Mashiach. Aaron and his four sons had to have Mashiach, because when they were born, their father wasn't Aaron wasn't yet a Kohen. So since they needed Mashiach, so they had Kedusha's Kohen Gadol, but they didn't have the Shem Kohen Gadol. Only Aaron had the Shem Kohen Gadol. He was Nisman HaBepeh by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the laws of Yisrael had the din of like a Mashiach Mochama. It has Kedusha's Kohen Gadol without a Shem Kohen Gadol. Then the Torah has after that story about Nadav Avihu dying and Mishael Bar Tzofen had to take out the body. After that you have the din. A Kohen is not allowed to drink wine when he's about to do Avodah. Yayim Sheikh Ratei Shat Manech Vavayach Malal Moed Bilos Amusam. But Achma Lon Moed sounds even if he's not makar of any karbanish, just if he walks between ulam alam is beach. He walks in between the ulam and the bayisheni. There was an ulam. There was a kodesh gadashim in the heichal, and then in front of him that was the ulam that was wider than the heichal. By Svishan there was no ulam. Bayisheni there was an ulam. So that's a question. Is that also a dinder? That's what it means. But vayachem means just between ulam alam is beach. That's a din deraisa, that's a din derabbanan, that's a discussion. In the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, in the Ramban, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where they're walking ben hu'ol av alam mizbeach, puru arosh, or shtu yayin, is that just milus midirabbanan? The Gemara in Chagiga talks about milus, chumris midirabbanan, milus. Rabbi Kanefogel, a couple of weeks ago, saw me. So he gave me a copy of his book. He did a lot of work about how they treated Mishumadim, how the Jews treated Mishumadim over the years. So he quotes a lot of things there. He can't fight with everybody. he quotes things a lot of times he doesn't agree with what they say, but he can't argue with everybody on every page. So he quotes there someone was translating a tshuva from the Achrayim into English, and he mistranslated. So he said, the fellas, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, that if a Jewish person became a mishum and he converted to another religion, that he wants to convert back to become Jewish, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch that he has to be toivel in a mikveh, in presence of three, like a ger. And the Taz even says that he needs hatofas dambris, like a ger. So there's a big machlekes whether that's a din derais or din derabbanan. The source of that din, that a mishumer who wants to become back Jewish again should be megayer, is avos d'rabnosan. So the question is whether it's a din derais or din derabbanan. So some of the goyim held it's a real din derais, that a Jew who converts to another religion loses his kedushas Yisroel. He's always Jew. So you need a geris menater. We assume that it's only midirabbanan. So one of the Acharonim wrote that it's a milah. Milah is a technical term that appears in the Gemara. It's a chumra midirabbanan. That's what milah is. Here, this is called a milah, that you're not allowed to go by. And one of the mizbech is milah is the rabbanan. So this chacham, Professor Kanefogel, quotes someone who's not learned, who didn't know how to translate that term. He knew Hebrew, but he didn't know technical terms from the Gemara. So he says, Milah, this will elevate him or something. That ain't what it means. Milah means a chumer midrabbanan. It's a technical term that appears in the Gemara. Anyway, so there's a din in the Gemara that a balmum is permitted to duchen, because on the one hand, but duchening is not an avodah. On the other hand, a shasa yayin is not allowed to duchen. So is it an avodah? Is it not an avodah? A balmum is not allowed to do any avodah. So how come he's allowed to duchen? So duchening is not avodah sakabanas. So why is the shasa yayin not allowed to duchen? So the Gemara learns everything out from Sukkim. So the question is that a Gemara in Tainus? Is that a real din daraisa, or is that just an asmachta midrabbon? So the Rishonim have a machlekes about that. Bottom line, that is the din. That's why many shuls on Simchas Torah give everybody an aliyah, and everybody goes and they make kiddush and then they drank. So shasa yayin, not allowed to duchen. So a lot of shuls, the minig is that on Simchas Torah, instead of duchening by Musaf, since everybody is shasa yayin, the shasa shikar mishar mishakrim, they drink shnapps, so they duchen by shachris. So that's a machlekes, but the machlekes in Rishonim, whether that's a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. And the pasuk says you should not drink lahav the men hakodesh ben achol. What I mean lahav the men hakodesh ben achol? It means the avodah will be mechulelis. If a kohen is a shasa yayin and he does avodah, so you have to know is he shasa yayin, is he not? And you'll determine whether the avodah is mechulelis or the avodah was kshera. Then it says next pasuk of the horis is bnei Yisrael. This kalochu kamasha dibra Hashem al. What does that mean? L'horis b'z b'nei Yisrael. So the Gemara said, there's another din in the pasuk. Ashika not only not allowed to be do avodah, and he's mechal al avodah. Havd ben achodesh ben achol. Chol means avodah mechuleles. L'horis means that a shasa yayin is not allowed to paskan any shaylas. L'horis b'z b'nei Yisrael. The Gemara says in the beginning of Beitza, Rav Lukim Amor Ale Miyom Tova Lachavre. Rav lived in Bovel, so he observed 2 days Yontif. So he wouldn't, after he already made Kiddush, he would be knocked out and he wouldn't pasken any shilas on both days of Yontif. Because of Shasa Yain is not allowed to pasken any shilas. Yeah. Rav had smicha. What about this man that nobody has any smicha? Maybe it's only called Hayroa. Hayroa is in the area of Torah Shebal Peh. There's no Hayroa. And Torah Shavichsav. The Gemara has two dinim that depend on Hayroa. There's a din in Parshas Vayikra. The din of Parhalam Dovashal Tzibur. If the 71 members of the Bez Nagodol made a mistake in Psak Halacha, a unanimous vote, incorrect, will probably never happen in the history of the world. All 71 members of the Bez Nagodol made a mistake, and they were Matar and Issa Koris. A malach on Shabbos, or some kind of chelav adam, a chomis bepesach, something has an isa karis. And the Reif HaTzibur in Eretz Yisrael, 51% of the Tzibur, violates the Avera because of the mistaken psak of the Bez Nagodol. So instead of requiring that each and every person should bring a chatos, a kizbo sir, we say the Bez Nagar brings a par of the Ol Shel Tzibah, and they all get a kapara. So the Gemara says that only applies if the mistake was in the area of Torah Shabbat Peh. What if they just made a mistake with Dovish at Tzukim Oidimbod? The Tzukim don't accept Torah Shabbat Peh. Tzukim only accept Torah Shabbat. So they just said that you can eat on Yom Kippur. Then it comes out, they forgot a pasuk in Chumash. That's not called a Hayruah. If they made a mistake in Torah Shabbat, that's not called a Psak. Hayruah is only Chal on Torah Shabbat Peh. The same thing, there's a din. There are Asar Chilukim Shebe Mominus Linefashas. So one of the differences is that Mominus is sufficient with a Beznam. To be in the Fashas, you need a Beznam 23. The number of Dayanim that you need. The Fash needs a Sanhedrin Tanim. And Mominus just needs a Beznam. You don't need a Sanhedrin Tanim. But the other nine differences between Mominus and the Fashas are really based on the idea that Hitzilah Hu'edah, that we bend over backwards to acquit the person whom we are judging. So one of the dinim is you need a roiv of shnayim, l'chayev. Let's say there's a split vote, the 23 dayanim. So 12 dayanim say he's chaymis, and 11 dayanim say that he's potter. So you can't give the death penalty based on a roiv of echad. You have to have a roiv of shnayim. You can never have a roiv of shnayim, so you have to have a roiv of shloisha, because it's an odd number of dayanim. Okay, so the Mishnah is talking about that. And one of the other dinim, all dinim of Hatzolim. And another din is Yatzim Ibezin Zakai, that's called double jeopardy. The founding fathers incorporated that into the Constitution, I think. Double jeopardy. That Yatzim Ibezin Zakai, Emachziros Elochaiva. Let's say he was judged in court and the court said that he's potter. That they're not going to punish him. And then they realize they made a mistake and they want to judge him again a second time. So that's a din in Misa, in Malkus, that Yotzim Ibezin Zakei Machzir Nosa L'chayim. But that's only if they made a mistake, but over something in Torah Shabbat Peh, they made a mistake in Halacha. What if they made a mistake in the facts? So that's how he wrote B'tois, that doesn't count. Or what if they made a mistake in Halacha, but B'dover Shatzdukim Odinbo, it's a B'verish of Pasuk and Chumash. They made a mistake and beferish on Torah Shabbat. The Gemara says, "Tov b'davish atzdukim odibah." It's not called a hayroa. Hayroa is only on Torah Shabbat. There's no hayroa on Torah Shabbat. So that's the shaila. That Rav lokim amor alei. Rav had smicha. Shmuel didn't get smicha. Rav got smicha. So Rav, the Gemara says, "Luka amor alei miyam atov alachavri." After he made kiddush on Yontif, he was shasa yayin. He wouldn't paskin because it says lahoris is bnei so. What about Bezman HaZedah? Nobody has any smicha anyway. So maybe there's no issa to Paskin because it's not called a Chal Hashem Hayroah. Whatever we say, maybe it's only called Hayroah if you have smicha. The Rambam's opinion, there's a fundamental machloek, is the Rambam in Tosfos. Rashi in Tosfos, what is smicha all about? So the Rambam shita is that to be a member of a Bezin, you don't need smicha. To give a Hayroah, you need smicha. That's a Bezin for Geirus. The Rambam sounds like he holds like the Rashba that you never needed Shlosh Smuchim. You need a Bezna of three Rabbanim, but they don't have to have Smicha. And Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha. How can we be Makabel Gerim as Manazan? Nobody has any Smicha. And Tosfos assumes that in order to be a member of a Bezna, you have to have Smicha. Not that Smicha is a din of Paskani. By Geris, there's nothing to Paskani about. We know it's a Goy, and after they'll have a Bris, it'll be the Kabbalah mitzvahs, and he'll be tovel in the mikveh, he'll be Jewish. There's no shayla to paskin over here. There's no sfeikus. It's you need a bezdin, but it's not a bezdin shel hayrot. It's a maisa bezdin. Bezdin supervises the gerus. So that's a machlekes Tosfos and the Rama, where they need smicha. So that's a shayla. According to the Rama, that smicha is a din of hayrot, and maybe bezman is there, nobody has any smicha. Maybe there's no din that a shikar is also to paskin. So there's a Ramon Yeredeya when the Shulchan Aruch has this din. It says Shasa Yain Hilchas Hayroah Sisa Beheta, the third Chelik Yeredeya. So the Ramon, there's a question what the reading is in the Ramon. There are some have the Girsa in the Ramon. There's one word that's questionable. If the one who drank wine is not allowed to paskin unless it's a Dabba Hamafurish bePaskim or Dabba Hamafurish bePsukim. Should the word be psukim or poskim? So some say the gear says davar hamafurish but psukim. Then that's Torah shebichsav. That's not called hayroah. So So the din, the shikar, is not allowed to be mara. The horus is meisol, only applies to Torah Shabbat Pet. There's no heru on Torah Shabbichsav. So that's one reading in the Ramah, that the shikar is not allowed to paskin in Torah Shabbichsav, but in Torah Shabbichsav, on Torah Shabbat Pet. But in Torah Shabbichsav, that's not called heru. So that's muta. The other version is no, dala hamafurish bit paskin. If it's zav shein mafurish bit paskin, he may make a mistake. He's tipsy. He's not all there. He's shikar. So he may make a mistake. So it's not because of the yisur. But if it's a davar hamafurish b'paskin, so since today nobody has smicha, so no one's going to be, strictly speaking, that was going to be a violation of the din. Because the whole prohibition is only not allowed to give a hayruah. Today nobody has smicha, so according to the Rambam, nobody's giving any hayruah at all. So therefore, the whole din that a shikha shouldn't pass kan shach is only if it's double shem foolish but paskim. He may be making a mistake. That's why. But the isra of hayruah, perhaps bismanazet, doesn't apply at all. So that's a discussion. The mepharshim on Yeruday talk about it. What is the correct reading in the Ramah? Dava hamafurish but paskim is muta, or dava hamafurish but psukim is muta. Then the parsha continues with the story that Moshe Rabbeinu, Sirachatas Darosh Darash Moshe Dehinei Soy Rof, which Sirachatas? Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Zvachim that it was the Soy Rosh Chodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Shmini Lemiluim, the last 7 days in Ador were the Shivas Meh Miluim. And the first day of Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, was the Yom HaShmini Lemiluim. And that Shmini Lemiluim, that was Nisi Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda brought the first 12 days in Chodesh Nisan. Each one of the Nisim of the Shvatim brought their karbonas. So there were a few Seirim Lachata. So what? It says Sirachatas Darash Darash Moshe Meinesarav. What Sirachatas did they burn? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara. It was the Soy Rosh Chodesh. That's a din l'dairis, the special karbonas that they brought for Chanukas Hanisim, for Chanukas Hanisim. That was a Hirash Shor. But the soy lachatos of Rosh Chodesh, that's every Rosh Chodesh. He bring 11 musafim, 10 oilas, and one soy lachatos. So Moshe Rabbeinu was upset. They didn't eat it. And he, vayikzoif, he got angry at all those of Yisam ibn Ahan and Nisarim. Vadu alach alta misachatos. He was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even though they were all in a state of aninus, they have a din of aninus, anoinen is not allowed to eat korbanos even after the kvura. By us, there's a different din of aninus. Anoinen is not allowed to do any mitzvah, is not allowed to say brochas, not allowed to do any mitzvah. That's only up until the kvura. After the kvura, he's allowed to. But the din of oinen and oinen is loichal to be oinen and many, not allowed to eat my sushain in the state of anil, not allowed to eat karbon, not allowed to be makor karbonis. That's even after the kvura. That's a din deraisa, that's even after the kvura. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that it's a misnomer in Yeruday. When it says hilchas aninus, it's really a mislabeling of the din. It should really be hilchas misha mesa muta lefana. It's not really aninus. If it would have been called aninus, it would apply the whole day long, even after the kvur. It's a different din. You should make some mutal upon it. The Gemara never calls it aninus. So Moshe Rabbeinu was upset. I was instructed that should eat it. Baninus tochlua. They should eat it and say aninus. So Aaron HaKohen pipes up, and he says, "No." The Gemara explains what was the taina of Aharon. You told us already a din that an oiner is not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni. When you say vidui meiser, the Shemitah is a 7-year cycle. So the first 3 years is one unit. The first 2 years, mafish tru magdala meiser ish and meiser sheni. The third year, mafish meiser rani. Then you have a half a year from a Shoshana till Erev Pesach to give away all the meiser sheni, to give away all the meiser ani and meiser ishan and truma. You have to and get rid of, eat up all the meiser sheni. So you have a half a year, that's called Shas HaBir. You have from the end of the third year till Pesach of the fourth year, you have, that's called Shas HaBir. The same thing the next 3 years, years 4, 5, and 6, a repeat of 1, 2, 3. Yes, 4 and 5 in Mafish Truma Gadol, Maisa Rish, Maisa Sheni. And yes, 6 in Mafish Maisa Oni instead of Maisa Sheni. And then the first, this is Shnas HaShmita. So the first 6 months in Shnas HaShmita of the 7th year, you have from Rosh Hashanah of Shnas HaShmita till Erev Pesach, you have, that's called Shas HaBir. You have a half a year to get rid of everything. So then on Erev Pesach of the 4th year and Erev Pesach of the 7th year, the farmer who fulfilled all the mitzvahs recites, "Be'ati Hakadosh Min Habayis V'gam Nisato La'Leva L'Gel Li'Asal Amana." If he fulfilled all the dinim, if he didn't fulfill all the dinim, he can't recite Vidur Ma'isa. Why is it called Vidur Ma'isa? That's a Tosfos Yontif discusses. Rav Soloveitchik once gave a whole drasha for the Mizrahi on that. Why is it called Vidur Ma'isa? He's bragging. He says, "I did everything properly." He says, "I did everything you instructed." So that's not Vida. Vida means you admit that you did an Avera. Why is this called Vida? So that's some Rishonim have the Girsa and the Mishnah. When you bring Bikurim, they call it Vida Bikurim. We don't call it Vida, we call it Mikra Bikurim. It doesn't say Vida. Arami Avi Ravi. There's no Vida over there. So why is it called Vida Maisa? It's a good question. You have to think about that. The Tosi Zantev talks about that. So Aaron HaKohen made a Kal V'chomer. You told us a din, that there's a din of Vidui Maisa on Erev Pesach of the 4th year, of Pesach of the 7th year, you have to recite Vidui Maisa. Part of the Vidui Maisa is that you say, "Lo yachal to be ani mimena," I did not consume the Maisa Sheni in the state of Aninus, "Lo yachal to be ani mimenu." So if there's a din Maisa Sheni HaKal, you can eat it in Yerushalayim, Maisa Sheni. There's a din in Oinen, is not allowed to eat it. So achatos hachomor, achatos hakotche kotchim. You only eat it zichri kuna in the azora. Alachas kama v'kama, that anointing is not allowed either. But Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed and he gave them that. That was the instructions were on the Hayru Ashur. And Doris Mishor lo yafino. The story of Rosh Chodesh is a din l'doris. So you can't learn out. You always learn out midinecha l'havera in Chumash. You always make a Kal V'chomer from one din to the other. Mamatzinu, let's say the din Atzei Shita Momdim. What is Atzei Shita Momdim? It's talking about the Karshei HaMishkan. When they made the Mishkan, they used boards of wood. They had to use it the way it grew on the tree. The tree grows like this. It didn't grow upside down. The tree grew like this. So when you make the Karshei HaMishkan, it has to be Atzei Shita Momdim. So from there we derive that whenever the Torah requires, whenever Allah requires, you have to use a natural item like a lulav and an esrog. The Dalabinim, you have to all the Kedar Kedilosim. Because you learn it from Atzishit Amamnim. Why do you learn from Atzishit? Because we assume Kol HaTorah Kol HaInyan Echad. All the dinim and the Chumash blend in to make one big pattern, one big mosaic. That's a Tosefta, Kol HaTorah Kol HaInyan Echad. We said that Tosefta has in Sanhedrin, has a din, it's quoted in Yerudea. The Rebbe is giving a shiur, and all of a sudden the student raises his hand and he starts asking Hashayla about B'dikas Chametz. We're not talking about B'dikas, we're talking about Parsha Shmini. What's he asking? We're learning Baba Basra. Badin and the Machos Adin. What's he asking about the Vidikas Chometz? So it says in the Tosef that he has to apologize to everyone and say, Shaloki Inyan Shalti. I take back the question. I had no right to ask it. We weren't discussing that. Rav Meir disagrees. He never have to apologize. Kol HaTorah Kol HaInyan Echad. Everything is really interconnected. Yeah. So we don't paskin like Rav Meir, but the premise of Rav Meir is accepted. Kol HaTorah Kol HaInyan Echad is accepted. All the dinim in the Torah fit into one big pattern. That's what learning Kol HaTorah Kula, the Gemara has a lashon in one place, is medama milsa v'milsa. You try to figure out which dinim can you extrapolate from any one given parsha. You can extrapolate from that parsha dinim that apply to other parshas in the Torah. Because all the dinim fit into one big pattern. Shagasari has a tshuva about this. It's not the regular Shagasari. The Shagasari printed a second volume. It's called Tshuva Shagasari HaChadoshes. So a big chunk of the Tshuva half of the Sefer is about Chodosh. He personally was Makbid, he was Nitzah about Chodosh, Uchutz Lord. Writes a lot about Chodosh. And the Tshuva is about Chodosh that takes up half the Sefer of the Tshuva Shagasari HaChadoshes. So in the Tshuva about Chodosh, he talks about this, that he can't be done in the Meidim Kal V'chomer Mehalocha. The Gemara has a klal. You can't construct a Kal V'chomer. There's halacha l'Moshe Mesinai on something. You can't construct a Kal V'chomer. If it's in over there, certainly more so than in the other case. So that's more as a klal. You can't he cannot expand halacha Moshe Mesinai based on a Kal Vachomer that it should apply to another case. So the Pshat Gezari says, but if it's a Kal Vachomer, not midin echad v'chaver, a Kal Vachomer, min eru bei, that you can. So he goes into this, that Kal Vachomer, midin echad v'chaver, is based on the premise that all the dinim fit into one big pattern. Something as halacha Moshe Mesinai doesn't fit into the pattern. It's Torah Shabbat Peh. But a Kal Vachomer, min eru bei, that even halacha Moshe Mesinai, that you can be done, because the din has to make sense. So that's what it means over here. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the din, they should eat, Ichlua Matzah states on Ham Zbeach, they should eat the Shiori HaMincha, even though they were all in a state of Aninus. He wasn't told the din by the Soi Rosh Chodesh. He thought, just like he was instructed, they should eat the mincha baninas. He thought they can eat everything baninas. And Aaron says, no. The Doris Mishol lo yafino. The chatos, the story of chatos of Rosh Chodesh, that's a korban ledoris. And the korbanus of the miluim, the shmini le miluim, was a hayruah shah. So you can't learn anything out from a hayruah shah to a din ledoris, because the dinim lushah don't fit into the pattern. It's not part of the mosaic. The tariag mitzvah said, noig ledoris, that's all kolat arkul and yanechet. But whatever is our rasha doesn't fit into the pattern. So that's what Aaron argued, Doris Mishol lo yafino. And then it says, Vayishma Moshe vayita v'yeno, Moshe Rabbeinu was maskim. So they have the Horus and the Vilna Goin on Vayikra. So the Vilna Goin quotes a passage from the Zohar that says that Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah Shebichsav and Aaron HaKohen represents Torah Shebalpeh. Interesting. Aaron HaKohen is the one who is down the Kal Vachomer here. This is a chunk of Torah Shebal Peh. It's written in the Chumash. But this was a chunk of Torah Shebal Peh. Aaron HaKohen made a drasha based on a Kal Vachomer. Is it right? You're not allowed to because it's Kochi Doiris. You were told only Kochi Shor. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're right, I made a mistake. Doris Mishol lo yafina, because only all the dinim of the Doris fit into the one big pattern. There were three Rabbis. We always talk about the two Rabbis. The Rabbi who wrote the Hasogas on the Rif and the Hasogas on the Rambam, and he wrote the commentary on the Torah's Kohanim. And then his father-in-law was also known as the Rabbi, the Baal HaEshkol. The Rabbi married the daughter of the Rabbi, Baal HaEshkol. So then there was a third Rabbi who's never quoted. So the Rishach writes one place and the other there. A lot of times there's a contradiction between what different Rishonim quote and the name of the Rabbi. They write, so the Hevi Yadua, there are two different Rabbis. So they're quoting the father-in-law, they're quoting the son-in-law. You have to know which Rabbi you're talking about. In fact, the Rabbi on Bava Kamma, the separate Sevi, they say it's by a different Rabbi. It's not by the famous Rabbi. Not by our Rabbi. It's a different Rabbi. So there was a third Rabbi that they talk about. He wrote the Sefer HaKabbalah. The Sefer HaKabbalah is a book on history, and it's very inaccurate. So one of the things that he has is that the Tosfos in Chulin quotes a machlekes between him. In Ochus, in Chulin, Tosfos quotes a machlekes Rabbeinu Tam and his brother-in-law, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, I think it was. When it says in the Chumash, "Ukshartam le'os al yodecha," how do you translate the words? So Rabbeinu Tam says, "Ukshartam le'os al yodecha," means like we do, hiduk. You have to tighten the ritzur. That is, if you just put the tefillin on your arm and it's going to fall off, you're not yotze the mitzvah. You have to tighten it. They should hold on tight. And the Rabbeinu Leo said you have to tie the knot every day. You have to tie the knot every day. That's the question. It means you have to untie the knot and tie the yud every day anew? Or he meant, no. The Kevinuri says they all misunderstood the Rabbeinu Leo. Kevinuri, Rav Soloveitchik said it over when we learned the tefillin. Rabbeinu said, it doesn't mean like that. They misunderstood Rabbeinu. He meant when you put on tefillin shalyad and you wrap it around, you have to tie a knot somewhere that it should hold. If you just tuck it under, then you're not yotz. So this is a machlokes going on for a long time. Rabbeinu Tam with his brother-in-law Rabbeinu Yo. So the Sefer HaKabbalah has the following Baba Maisa that the Rabbeinu Tam made up with his brother-in-law Rabbeinu Yo. They're going to go to Rabbi Chil Paris. I don't even know if they lived in the same generation. This Sefer HaKabbalah is not too reliable. So they decided they're going to go. He was a Baal Kabbalah. They're going to bring back Moshe Rabbeinu from the dead. and they're going to ask him, when you wrote in the Chumash, Ikshat Ma'os Ayadecha, what did the Rebbe Hashem tell you? Did he tell you to tie a knot? Or did he tell you just to tighten it? So they brought Moshe Rabbeinu back. Moshe Rabbeinu said, the other way. Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, you have to tie a knot every day. So Rabbeinu Tam says, go back. We're not going to listen to you. Lo Vashamayim, go to sleep. You don't know what you're talking about. First they made up whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says goes. And then Rabbeinu Tam said, the deal is off. He's not going to, Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said that that's a pikusis. You're not allowed to say that because in the end of Treyoser, in Malachi, Chagas Chai Malachi, Malachi was the last of the Nevi'im. That was the end of the Torah Shebichsav. Mikam Yelchit said, that's what it says in Seder Olam. Mishimeisa Nevi'im, Achreinim Chagas Chai Malachi, Botla Nevu'im Yisroel, Mikam Yelch, Hato Hasdecho Shmad Direchacham. From now on is the Tkufa, from the time to the beginning of the Bayi Sheni. Now you have to emphasize Lima Torah Shebal Peh. So the Navi Malachi signs off. He says he knows he's the last Navi till Eliyahu. Navi's going to come before Bias HaMashiach to announce that tomorrow he's going to come to the Bez Nagorol to announce that Mashiach is coming tomorrow. So he says, Zichu Torah Moshe Abdi, you better observe the mitzvahs in the Torah. Because I'm the last Navi, the Baruch Shalom is not going to send any more Nevi'im to give his Tochacho. I'm the last Navi until it's going to be a long stretch. That was over 2,500 years ago. It was a long time ago that Malachi said this. So he calls the Zichot Teres Moshe Abdi. Why is it called Teres Moshe? So they quote the name of Rab Soloveitchik, quote the name of Rab Chaim. It's called Teres Moshe. Moshe Abena has the final say. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says goes, and you can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Over here, Aaron argued with Moshe Rabbeinu, then Moshe Rabbeinu was masking with him. He brought to his attention, he can make a kal v'chomer from Maisa Sheni, Hakal, that an oinon is not allowed to eat, it's a certainly chatas rish chodesh. So Moshe Rabbeinu was masking. But if you argue with Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't give in to you, then you have no right. You can't argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik said that this was apikursus. So people were wondering, maybe he's making up stories. Because Rav Soloveitchik sometimes had an imagination, he would embellish things. So my father had a sefer at home. Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz died a long time ago. He lived in the 1700s. So they keep on discovering more ksavim. The Talmidim wrote over drushes and pilpulim and shiurim from Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. I think they say there's still many in Kisvei Yad. Tons of ksavim by students of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. So every time someone found a ksav yad, they printed it. So my father had a sefer. I think it's called Teferis Yonasan. Some Talmud Chacham in Europe found drushes, pilpulim, amid drushen by Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. So in every parsha he has, I think it's called, there are a lot of from that have the Rein Yonasan. I think it's called Teferis Yonasan. So on Bereshus, he has the Pharisee Yainasen, a word from Rabbi Yonasan, then he has a word from his own. Then he has a Noyach, a word from Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, and a word of his own. Okay. So he had given it in to the printer to set the type for the Sefer, and he told the printer they should leave out the first Beugen, the first section of 16 pages, I don't know. They print out a big sheet, and then they fold it over in different parts, and you have, I think, 16 pages on one big sheet. So he said they should leave out the first section because he's going to try to collect haskamas on the sefer, and that's going to be the last part to be printed, and then they're going to sew the whole thing all together. They're going to stitch it all together, and then they're going to print it as a sefer. So it was going around with the manuscript of the sefer, and he asked for haskamas. So he asked Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik looked through it. So he has a pilpul that there was a machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. Something in Chumash Mos, with a medrash, a whole pilpul. So he says the machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro is the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Moshe Rabbeinu held like the Ravid, whatever, and the Paro held like the Rambam. So Rav Chaim said, I can't give a haskama, that's a pikursus. If Moshe Rabbeinu said that way, no one is allowed to disagree. So he said, I can't give you a haskama. So he said, the Mechaber of the Sefer, whoever it was, the one who found this manuscript of Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz, this is what he added on. This is not from Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz. This is the guy added on his own. Every seder, I'm gracious, and every seder he has from Yeris and Ebish it's avoid, then he has his own avoid. So this is one of the things that he added on. So Reb Chaim said, I'll give you haskama on the condition that you delete that. I can't give you haskama if you print that, because that's apikursis. No one's allowed to paskin. I can't say the Rama paskins against Moshe Rabbeinu. So when he came to Warsaw, he saw they had already printed it. So he couldn't print Reb Chaim's haskama. So he felt bad. As haskama of Reb Chaim on the sefer. So he printed the haskama and he wrote, I was supposed to delete it, but it was printed already. So the heavy adua, the Reb Chaim said, that's apikursis. But the rest of the sefer, I have a haskama. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. That's exactly what Rav Soloveitchik said. The Reb Chaim said, you're not allowed to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Zichu Taras Moshe Rabbeinu. He has the final say. And today, Sedra, Aaron HaKoyin, Dingsach, Vayishma Moshe Vayita B'yayin, if he's masking with what Aaron said. But if he's not masking, then you're not allowed to, you can't outvote Moshe Rabbeinu. He has the final say. Then the Torah has a dictum of how to determine whether any given animal is kosher. So as far as Behem and Chaya, it depends on Malager and Mafris Parson. The dinim of kosher animals is repeated later in Parshas Re'eh, I think. So there, it's everything is the same. Why is it repeated? So the Gemara says, because of Shesua. It adds one word over there. Shesua is an animal that you're not allowed to eat. What's wrong with the Shesua? So the Gemara says, it's Malagera and it's Mafis Parsa, but it has Shnei Gabin and Shnei Shedroids. It has two spines, parallel to each other, two spines. So the Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. They're not sure. Such an animal can exist in the jungle somewhere, in the African jungle. There is such an animal. That's Malager Mafis Parasa, has the two simonitar, but because it has Shnei Gabin and Shnei Shadras, it has two spines, therefore it's treif. Well, maybe such an animal cannot exist. So if it can't exist, so what is the Torah telling you you're not allowed to eat it for? No, it can exist as a ben pekua. It won't survive. After it'll be born, it won't survive. But the din is a bet pekuah. If you shech the mother, they once asked on the smicha bechina, what is ben pekuah? The guy told us like ben zayma, ben aza. He told him the name of a holy tana. Ben pekuah. Ben pekuah is an animal. If there's a pregnant cow and you shech the mother and the uber comes out after the shechita of the mother, it doesn't come out. So then the shechita in the Torah, the shechita mother is chal on the uber. And the uber doesn't need any shechita. That's called a ben pekua. It's a simon and shulchan. So what happens if you have a ben pekua that's malagera or mafis parsa, but it has shnei gabin and shnei shadros? So one opinion of the Gemara is that such an animal cannot exist in mitzias. There is no such min animal that's malagera, mafis parsa, shnei gabin and shnei shadros. It only goes out of ben pekua shesua. Rav Soloveitchik, when we learned here today, Rav Soloveitchik said, there was a period of time that he gave a hashgacha on the slaughterhouse in Boston. And he said he wasn't there every day. He used to go once a week to check, to make sure he had good shochtim, to make sure that they're doing everything properly. He said he saw more than once. He saw a shesua, ben pekua shesua. He saw a ben pekua shesua. I once spoke about this topic on a Leil Shabbos when it was my turn to speak in the yeshiva. So at that time, the dean of the college was Dean Adler. He passed away a couple of years ago. He was a dean for a couple of years, a very nice man. So I was talking about this Shesua. So he tells me afterwards that he published a book. I'm not sure what his field was. He said he published a book with a Shesua on the cover. That picture he had on the cover. He said that's an abnormal thing. And it won't live. Yeah, a Shesua ben pekua. So even though there's a din ben pekua is mit and muta b'shchita sima, but if it's the shesua ben pekua, then it's also. So the Torah. So how do we paskin? So we're not sure. It's a machlek his Rav Shmuel. So we're not sure who is right. The mitzias. Can such an animal exist? There is such an animal in the African jungles. And that's what the Torah says. You're not allowed to eat that shesua. But if you have the ben pekua shesua, it would be muta. Ben pekua is muta because of the mother. Or should I say, no, such an animal cannot exist. And when the Torah talks about Shesua, it means a ben pekua Shesua. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, you shouldn't laugh. He saw a ben pekua Shesua a few times. There is such a thing. So the Torah Tamima quotes Akasha, I think probably in Parshas Re'eh, maybe it's not in Parshas Re'eh, but I think it's on Re'eh. He says, it says in the books on animals that there is such an animal in African jungles, Malager Mafis Parsa, and it's Shnei Gabin and Shnei Shadros. There is such an animal, and it does exist. So why are we Machmer in Yeridei that you're not likely Ben Pekua Shesua? It's totally in the Machloikis whether such an animal exists. We know that it does exist, so then we should Paskin like that Amoira. I forgot either Rab or Shmuel, that the Torah only prohibits the animal if it's born already, but if it's a Ben Pekua Shesua, it should be Mutter. So he has that as a kasha. So this was assumed in the world of biology. Is it, I don't know, it's called biology of animals, also called biology. In that world, it was assumed for over 100 years that that animal in African jungles is a Malager Mafis Parsa. After over 100 years, they all realized they have conventions every couple of years and they review all of their inyanim. They came to the realization that they made a mistake, that it's not Malager. Not Malager. In Yiddish, if a person chews gum, you say he's a Malager. But that's not what Malager is. Malager means the food, the animal chews the food, goes down into the stomach. And then the enzymes work on it, then it goes back into the mouth, the animal chews it again, it goes down again. Just because the animal is chewing all day long, that doesn't mean it's a malager. Malager means the food comes back up, it regurgitates the food, then it swallows it again. After over 100 years, the world of science realized that they misjudged, that that animal is not a malager. So we don't think there is such an animal. There has shnei gabin and shnei shadros malager mafis parsa. So that's why we still prohibit that ben pekua shesua. Yeah, why did Rabbi Soloveitchik give a hechsher on the slaughterhouse? That was also interesting. He never told us why. Someone else told us that after his father passed away, so his mother had no parnasa. His mother lived, they used to live in the neighborhood here, Fort Washington. They used to watch the George Washington Bridge be put up to New Jersey in the early 1900s, because they lived over there near the beginning of the George Washington Bridge on Fort Washington Avenue. So his mother had no parnasa because the yeshiva did not take care of the almanas. So Rabbi Soloveitchik told the administration of the yeshiva, so they invited Rabbi Soloveitchik to give a shiur after his father passed away. So he told them they should continue giving his salary to his mother and make believe that that's the yeshiva's policy, that they continue to support the almanas. And he had to pay for his own traveling back. He didn't take a penny from the yeshiva for many years. His mother lived for many years after that. For quite, I forgot already how many years. His father died before I was born. And his mother lived, I was married already. She lived at least 27 years after the father. She lived for many years. She used to come every year to hear the Yotzei Drosha. Absolution had Yotzei for his father. So many, many people came, and some women used to come also. So his mother used to come every year to listen to the Yotzei Drosha in honor of her husband. So so he told the administration of the yeshiva that she continued paying the salary to his mother. That'll be his salary. And then he had to get a job to cover the expenses of traveling back and forth. So that's when he agreed to supervise the slaughterhouse in Boston. That was interesting. That's what people told us. Then the Torah has, how do you determine whether any given fish is kosher or not? So that depends on snapim v'kaskeses. Okay. There was a big machlokes in the days of the Balei HaTosfos whether barbuto is a kosher fish or not. What exactly is a barbuto? I'm not sure. What's the issue? What was the issue? That one of the Balei HaTosfos had a dream that he was giving chazer to the Jewish people to eat. So when he woke up, he was shaking. What was he giving chazer? Because he passed on the barbuto as kosher, and Min HaShemayim are telling him that it's like chazer. Not like barbuto. What's wrong with the barbuto? So the only one who explains what's wrong is in the smak, the Sefer Mitzvahs. There's a Sefer Smag and a smak, two different Balei HaTosfos. The smak Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, and the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan. So the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan has Heoris footnotes on the bottom by the Rabbeinu Peretz. Heoris Rabbeinu Peretz. So Rabbeinu Peretz explains what the issue with the barbuto was. The machlekes was, what if it has, to use the expression of Rabbaran Soloveitchik, as Malik, it's not bivikaskesis, but it has legs and arms also. It's an animal. It doesn't look like a fish at all. It looks like an animal, but it happens to a sea animal. But it has to happens to have snapivikaskesis also. So is it kosher only if it's has to have a tzuras dag? Has to look like a fish, then it has snapivikaskesis mutter? What if it's not bitzuras fish? So that was a big machloikis. So men achranim say it's mutter even if it doesn't have a tzuras dag. That was the issue by Barbuta, and they felt that it's only considered tzuras dag if the tail is indented. If the tail is straight, that doesn't have a tzuras dag. Well, we eat sole fish. Sole we assume is a kosher. Sole, the tail is straight. The tail is not indented. So we pass on halacha that it doesn't have to have a tzuras dag. But that's what they were fighting about. That was a big machlokes in the days of Rishonim. Tosfos talks about the Barbuta and the Mordechai. And all of those, you know, those Balei HaTosfos, but they don't explain what the issue was. The only one explains, I think the Beis Yosef probably quotes that Haglos Rabbeinu Peretz on the bottom of the page of the smock. I think when I got married, I stole my father's smock. My father wasn't using it anyway, so I walked off with it. I have it in the house. The other swarm I never got. My father had it in the library, I never got. Anyway. As far as birds are concerned, the Chumash doesn't tell you the simonim, how to determine whether any given bird is kosher. But the Chumash does give you a list of the non-kosher birds because it's a short list. So any bird other than the non-kosher birds is kosher. What are the simonim? So the Mishnah in the end of Perek Eved Treifas and Chulin, Mishnah gives you what the klal is. How do you know when any given bird is kosher? So they tell you the klolim. That's called the sugya of nesher. We usually assume nesher is an eagle. And the Rabbi Natan said, Nesher is not an eagle. Okay. So that's a big sugya, but a long balamor there, very long balamor, unusual. Different opinions in the Rishonim. So the Gemara tells a story that the Amoraim who lived in Babel came upon a new kind of a bird, new tangled bird, and had all the simonim that described in the Mishnah. So they started eating the bird. Then after a while, they came to the realization that they misjudged, and it's wrong, and it's not a kosher bird. So they stopped eating it. It's a non-kosher bird, so they stopped eating it. So Rashi comments on that Gemara in Perek Eved Treifas. Rashi usually doesn't give a comment halacha l'maaseh. We have tshuvas from Rashi, we have Talmidim of Rashi, right over different things. But Rashi in his commentary on the Gemara hardly ever says halacha l'maaseh apsak. So Rashi writes, from this Gemara you see that Amaroi made a mistake, so we should learn a lesson. We shouldn't eat a bird unless we have a tradition. You have to have a masorah that the bird is kosher because we may be making a mistake. It may be misjudging. Look, the Amaroi misjudge it. We can misjudge also. So in Shulchan Aruch, Rashi is an Ashkenazi. So the Mechaber follows his rule. He takes two out of the three Rishonim. He has the Rambam and the Rib say one way, and the Rosh says the other way. The Rosh represents all the Balei HaTosfos. The Rosh writes in the Tshuva that the Rei and the Rabbein Tam are G'dayla Mechof and Minyan greater than the Rambam and the Rif. The Rei and the Rabbein Tam represent hundreds of Balei HaTosfos. The Rif and the Rambam are two individual Rishonim. So the Mechaber doesn't quote that Rashi. Mechaber says if you have a bird that has all the same money, you're allowed to eat it. And the Ramah quotes this, he doesn't quote it from Rashi, he quotes it from the Sefer Issa the Heta Ha'oruch. It's a little Sefer Issa the Heta Ha'oruch by the Rabbeinu Yoina. It's not the Rabbeinu. I have an old Issa the Heta. It's a reprint from Europe. So they have on the first page, on the title page, it says it's written by Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi. It's not by Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi. It's Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi never heard of these Balei HaTosfos. He only quotes Sfardim, and this one only quotes Ashkenazi. So the Ramah quotes this Rashi la'alocha. You shouldn't eat a bird unless you have a masorah, because just Rashi says, because just like the Amoraim made a mistake, we can make a mistake as well. So similar to that, there's a shach in Yeridaya where the shach writes to determine whether any given animal is a behemah or a chai is not so easy. There are differences between a behemah and a chai. Also, Esbana only applies to behemahs, doesn't apply to chayas. What else? Chelev of chai, the exact same sections of the animal that in the behemah is called chelev, and a chayah it's mutter, shuman. The chelev that's mutter is called shuman, the chelev that's asa is called chelev. The exact same parts of the animal that in Behem is called a chela, and a chaya it's mutter. The Rada Dira Mosa, Kisi Adam is only by chaya, not by Behem. There are more differences. Zerala chayayim v'akeva. Zerala chayayim v'akeva only apply matonis. That's called matonis. For nechof talad matonis kunis. Zerala chayayim v'akeva only applies to v'yishech the Behem. V'yishech the chaya, there's no din of Zerala chayayim v'akeva. So to determine whether any given animal is Behem or chaya depends on the shape of the horns. So the Shach writes, it's not so easy to determine. So you should never eat chaylev unless you have a tradition that this animal is a chaya. You shouldn't try to figure out. If you have a new animal, you've got to figure out on your own. You shouldn't rely on that. So that's the simple reading of the Shach. The Shach writes in Vilna. The Shach lived in Vilna for many years. The Shach lived in Vilna. I'll tell you when we were touring in Vilna. So the tour guide was a girl who wasn't Jewish. Her father was Jewish, her mother was not Jewish. So she was the tour guide. So she kept on talking about the Vilna Gaon, where the Vilna Gaon lived, the way he davened, that's everything about the Vilna Gaon. So someone asked, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Shach? Shach lived in the Vilna. She says, he didn't teach Torah. He taught secular studies. So I told her the Shach is quoted much more often than the Vilna Gaon is. When they write the Chumash, everybody quotes the Shach. Hardly anybody quotes the Vilna Gaon. She didn't know that. Anyway, the Shach lived in Vilna. Not at the same time that the Vilna Gaon. Shach lived in the 1600s. He ran away when the Chmelnytsky riots were. There was Tach V'Tat. That was... Tach V'Tat was 1648 and 1649. Tach V'Tat. He told me that in front of the Ukrainian parliament, is this true? They have a statue of Chmelnytsky? That's the hero, Chmelnytsky, who killed so many Jews. The only one who killed more Jews than Chmelnytsky was Hitler. So they have a statue of Chmelnytsky in front of the Ukrainian parliament. Very interesting. That's their hero. Anyway, the many Gedolim lived in Vilna at that time. They all ran away. The many Gedolim, yeah. So the Shach ran away also. So the simple reading of the Shach is that he says you shouldn't eat chelev chaya. You shouldn't determine on your own that any given animal is a chaya. Because it's not so easy to decide this based on the shape of the horns. You should only assume it's a chaya if you have a tradition. So the Chochmas Odom also lived in Vilna. He was a businessman for many years, and then they appointed him. He wrote this farm when he was a businessman, the Chayodim and the Chochmas Odom. And then later on, at the end of his life, they appointed him as a dayan in Vilna. So the Chochmas Odom records a minig in Vilna. He says the minig is that not only you don't eat the chaylev, to distinguish between a behem and a chaya is difficult. He says the minig is that you don't eat any animal unless you have a masora that the animal is kosher. You have to have a tradition because you may make a mistake. So Rabbi Tendler, Zechanel Racham, on the way he taught you shouldn't paskin like the Chochmas Odom, just made a mistake. But others assume that he didn't make a mistake. Maybe that's not what the Shach didn't really say that. Shach said you shouldn't eat the chaylev of a chaya, assuming that you shouldn't decide on your own that it's a chaya as opposed to behema. And the Chochmas Odom writes that the minig in Vilna is, and by the Lithuanian Jews, they follow the Chochmas Odom, like the Bible. That's it. That's the final word by them. So the Chochmas Odom says the minig in Vilna by the Litvaks is that they will not eat an animal unless you have a tradition that the animal is a kosher animal. So years ago, there was a whole issue about the zebu. Zebu is an animal that they have, it gives off milk. And has humps on the back, looks like a camel a little bit, but it's malager, mafis parasa, so it's kosher. And it has the maila, the milk tastes almost like the milk of the cow, not exactly, but it has a maila like a camel that it can store a lot of water. So in the Middle East, the temperature is such that the animals it's always warm in there, so even in the middle of the winter it's warm. So the animals have to drink a lot. So if you're gonna have a milk industry in Eretz Yisrael, which they have a milk industry. In fact, they say, I think the milk industry in Eretz Yisrael is exceptionally good. They say the milk is one of the best milks in the world. It's little Eretz Yisrael's Cholav Dvash. People talk about the word Cholav, doesn't it? The land flowing milk and honey means milk or means something else? So others say it really means milk, that the milk on Eretz Yisrael is really fantastic. So the early years, I don't remember, before HaKamas HaMedina, or soon after HaKamas HaMedina, in the early years, when Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi, first Rav Kook was the Ashkenazi. They always had Sfardim in Eretz Yisrael, they always had Rishon LeTzion, but they didn't have Ashkenazi chief rabbi until Rav Kook. He died, I think, 1935, something like that. When Rav Soloveitchik visited Eretz Yisrael, he was a candidate for the Rabbanus in Tel Aviv. He visited Rav Kook on his deathbed in the hospital, and then he died soon after. He died Gimel Elul. Rav Soloveitchik was there for Shavuot, so soon after that year, 1935, was when Rav Kook passed away. So after Rav Kook, they appointed Chief Rabbi Herzog. So the Chazon Ish had a whole correspondence with Rav Herzog. They wanted to allow the milk industry to use Zibu milk because of Malager Mafis Parsa. And the milk tastes almost as good as what we're used to, the cow's milk. And the Zibu doesn't have to drink so much water, as it stores a lot of water. So the Chazon Ish said, you can do it, but the Litvaks won't be able to drink the milk or eat the meat, because the Litvaks follow the Chaye Adam, Chachmas Adam. Chachmas Adam says the meaning in Vilna, the meaning for the Litvaks is that you don't eat from an animal unless you have a Masara, that is the kosher animal. We never had a Masara on the Zibu.
The issue with the Chelev, so what's wrong with the milk? It's definitely kosher, just...
Right. Right. So the Shach, the simple reading of the Shach, the Pima Gadim, and all the classical posts, they all say the Shach only said you shouldn't eat the chalev unless you have a tradition that it's a chay as opposed to behema. But the Chachma Sodom writes it differently. The Rabbi Tana said he made a mistake. But the Chazon Ish assumed he didn't make a mistake. Chazon Ish was a Litva. So he assumed that Chachma Sodom didn't make a mistake. He's writing a minig. The minig was that they wouldn't eat an animal unless you had a tradition. Look, for over 100 years, the world of science made a mistake. They thought that that animal in African jungles that the Torah Tanima writes about, they thought that the animal was Malagera. And then after 100 years, they realized that it's not a Malagera. The one that had the Shnei Gab and the Shnei Shadros. It's not a Malagera. It's just chewing something all the time. That's not called Malagera. So that's like Rashi says, you shouldn't eat a bird unless you have a Masora, because the Amoroi made a mistake. So here, recently, they just realized this mistake 20 years ago, that they were made a mistake for over 100 years. They thought that animal in African jungles was Malagera, and it wasn't. So the Chochmas Adam writes that that's the Litvishan meaning. You don't eat any animal unless you have a Masara, because you may be making a mistake in determining that it's Malagera, Mafis Parsa. So for many years, they didn't allow the Zibu. They didn't allow the Zibu, but so then what happened was, in Eretz Yisrael, for many years, I don't know if they still have this practice, for some reason or another, they didn't do shechita in Eretz Yisrael. They used to shecht in Argentina, and they used to freeze the meat and send it to Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes they used to shecht in America, and they used to freeze the meat and send it to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe by now they have their own shechita, I don't know. So in South America, when they shecht, so a lot of times they'll shecht zibu, and they'll send the meat, whoever wants the meat. So there was a scandal maybe 20 years ago, less than 20 years ago, I don't know. I remember I used to go to the OU office every Friday to work on issues of kashrus. So I remember the scandal was on Erev Shabbos. They found out that some of the butcher shops in Bnei Brak were selling meat from Argentina that was zibu. That was Zibu meat. And the Chazon Ish said you shouldn't eat Zibu, the Litvak shouldn't eat Zibu, because we don't have a Masora on it. So he corresponded, the Chazon Ish corresponded with Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog said, but the Jews in India always ate the Zibu. The religious Jews in India always ate. So Chazon Ish said, that's not called a Masora. A Masora is if you had Tamir HaChachamim there, and they approved it. The Jews in India, they unfortunately never had big Tamir HaChachamim. So Rav Herzog agreed with them. So Yitaka didn't permit them to have zibu flesh or to have the milk from the zibu. So what happened was they were still shechting zibu in Argentina, and then they came to the realization Friday that a lot of people had already put up their cholim for Shabbos, and they realized that the butcher shops were selling zibu meat. So the rabbanim and Bnei Brak told all the balabatim they shouldn't eat the cholim meat because it's from zibu, and the Chazon Ish said that it's also. So remember, Bimikre, that Shabbos, Rav Shapira's son, the one who's now the Rosh Hashiva America's Rav, was in the neighborhood. I don't remember why. So I think Friday night he ate by Rabbi Goldwicht, and Shabbos morning he ate by me. So we were talking about this issue that I heard about. By us it was Friday morning, by them it was 7 hours late, and there it was Friday afternoon already. So I said, I heard about the whole issue. So Rabbi Yankov Shapira, he said, he doesn't think that this issue is going to be resolved this week. So it was resolved. It was resolved right away. What happened was, over the years, somebody was experimenting. They were breeding together zebu with cows, which is against the din. There's a din hakova, harboaz behemoth. You're not allowed to breed min b'shein amina. These are two different animals. A zebu and a cow, different animals. So they came to realization they were experimenting. Maybe Nochrim did it. I think it's also for Nochrim also. I think harboaz behemoth is also for Nochrim. I think so. Could be a tenisa for the Shevet Mitzvah ben Enoch. So they came to the realization that if it's 5/8 one and 3/8 the other one, I forgot which way, then it has the best of both worlds. Then the milk tastes like cow's milk. And the animal will be able to store up a lot of water like a camel, and it won't have to drink so much. So, and there's a Gemara in the first parak in Bechoris, but the Gemara says that a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal cannot breed together and have lotus. It could be that through artificial insemination, maybe they can have lotus, but they won't breed on their own. If you lock them in a room together, they won't marry each other. They won't mate together. So they came to the realization that the cow and the zebu will mate. They'll marry each other, and they'll have lotus. So since there is a masoira on the cow, that the cow is a kosher animal, so the masoira carries over to the zebu as well. So that's what they said. And then they said, and if you want to be machmer, not so, then I have to passel everybody's tefillin and all the sifrei Torah, because they were using zebu's hide to make parchment. So they'll have to passel not just kasha the trefa pots, stop eating zebu meat, they'll have to passel everybody's tefillin, because many of the tefillin were written on parchment that was taken from a zebu animal. So taka was resolved that week. They said, b'shaita when the Chazon Ish discussed it with Rav Herzog, he was right. At that time, we had no masorah on the zebu. They didn't know that it can mate together. But after they came to the realization that they can mate together and have lotus, then the masorah that you have on the cow carries over to the zebu.
There was never a question if it was kosher, except for the Chachmas Adam. For everyone else, it was always kosher. Just the minhag is still there.
What to argue? Okay. What to argue? Anyway, when you read the biographies of the Chazon Ish, there's always going to be a big chapter about the zebu. This was a big issue, the zebu. On fish, there's no such chumrah. They quote the Darkei Tshuva on the simit about fish, I think Pei Gimel, and Yerodech Elgal. So he quotes a tshuva by the son of the Rosh, that fish, there are thousands and thousands of kinds of fish, and nobody ever required a masora on fish. If the fish has not been the kaskesis, it's kosher. You don't need any masorah. Because in different parts of the world, there are different kinds of fish. If you would require a masorah, the Jews wouldn't be able to eat fish in a different part of the world. You wouldn't be able to eat fish in Eretz Yisrael. So that no one has ever machmah on that. Yeah, there's a famous medrash on the chazir, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat pork. So the medrash has a comment: Lama nikra shmo chazir she'asid Hakadosh Baruch Hu lahachzira liYisrael. The Rebbe Shlom in the future will allow the Jewish people to eat pork. How can it be? That's against the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna. The Rambam has an Ikari Amuna zasat Torah losi mochlefes losi Torah cheres beis habari is baruch shmo. The dinim in the Torah binding with doyrois. So the Sefer of Ikarim, Barab Yosef Albo, disagrees with their Rama. He thinks that the laws of the Torah can change. We spoke about it, I think. But the Shmos Chadoshim, he proves it, because the Ramban Chumash and the Pasuk HaChodesh Elohim quotes from the Rishon Shmos Chadoshim Halimayim Bavel. When they came back from Golus Bavel, so they changed the whole system. Instead of saying HaChodesh HaRishon, HaChodesh HaSheni, HaChodesh HaShlishi, he's saying this in the Yeshiva. He said that was a major change. And you see that the laws of the Torah can't change. And he disagrees with the Rambam. He says that there aren't 13, and he said that basically there are three Kori Amunah, the three are Malchus, Chayna, Shofers. He says the three Brachas on Rosh Hashanah emphasize the three Ikari Hamuna, and some of them he throws out. Zosatolosimachlebisu think that's not all in Ikari Hamuna, and the others he combines together. So some of them together are all Malchias and so on. So he thinks that the laws of the Torah can't change. But this is when they had the correspondence among the Rishonim. There was a period of time that they put the Sifri HaRama Milcherim. Then they realized they made a big mistake. And then there was a period of time that the Jews burned the Rambams in the public square in Paris. And years later, the Goyim burned the Talmud in the same public square. So the Rabbi Yehuda realized that it's his fault because he approved of the burning of the Rambam. So supposedly that's why what motivated him to write this Sefer Shari Tshuva. He felt they needed a kapara for endorsing the Sreifas HaRambam. So when they were discussing the Sreifas HaRambam, so they have Tshuvas back and forth, the Rosh and the Rashbo and the Meiri. They all have correspondence. So there's one Sefer that has all of these put together. It's called Minchas Kenaos. I forgot the author's name. He was one of the Bali Atesus. So he put everything together. So in the Hagdamah to the Sefer Minchas Knos, he writes about this Medrash. What's Pshat? Osar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Ol Yisrael. But if you assume like the Rambam, Zosar Torah Lo Yisim Mochlefes, the laws of the Torah will never change. How can it be that Lo Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow Chazir? So some say that Lo Yisrael and the Chazir will have the two Simonim. The Metzias will change and be Malager, Mafis Pars. He says that it doesn't mean that at all. He says that the Chazir, Rashi on Bereshit says, that the Chazir sticks out his legs to show you that he's Mafis Parsa, but he's not Malagera. So he puts on an act as if he's kosher. So the Chazir and Chazal sometimes is a reference to the Christians. They claim that they're the twin religion with the Jewish people. Yankim and Esav were twins, so they said Judaism and Christianity are the twin religions. And we have Judeo-Christian traditions. We don't have any Judeo. We have our tradition, and their Avodah Zarah. They have nothing to do with them. The Rambam writes in the Geras HaShemad, I think, if you have a wax museum and you have a statue of a person, then you have that person standing next to the statue. They look exactly the same. You can't tell the difference. The person is going to blink his eyes. He can't keep his eyes open the whole time. You touch his body, it's going to be warm. The statue is going to be cold, and the person is breathing. The statue is dead. It's not alive. He says, what do you mean? You put Judaism next to Christianity, you can't tell which is a fake and which is the real thing. This is a live religion. This is dead. It's not. There's no Judeo-Christian tradition. But that's what they claim. So the Christians are ruling the whole world. So Chazir, sometimes in the Midrashim, in the Gemara, in the Midrashim, refers to the Christians. So that's what it means. Lama dikashmo Chazir. Why do we refer to the Christians as Chazir? Shasar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Ol Yisrael. In the future, the Malchus will be restored to the Jewish people. It doesn't go on eating pork. It goes on the Malchus, that the Christians are ruling the whole world. America is a Christian country. Spain is a Christian country. There are a lot of countries in the United Nations that are Christian. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future will give the Malchus back to the Jewish people. That's what the author of this Sefer, I forgot his name already, the author of this Sefer that has the collection of all of the tshuvas about the Cherem and the Mordim and the Minchas Kenos, so that's what he interprets. That's the Pshat. Then the Torah has a din which behemoth summit tamei when they die. Niblas behemoth v'chaya is metamei b'maga b'masa. Shemayin ha-shotzim ha-mur ma-torah, that's a perik ha-masach ha-shabbos. Perik Shemayin ha-shotzim has all the dinim of refua there. Refua is exer de rabbanon on Shabbos. G'day v'shem ha-yishachik sam-amani. So there are 24 perikim on Shabbos. One whole perik has about refua. That's perik Shemayin ha-shotzim. So it says, the Shmada Shoratzma metami b'maysam, they're only metami b'maga, not b'masa. Nivla seif toho is only metami b'beis ha'bliya. Nivla seif tome is not metami at all. Ha'meis odem is metami shiva yomim. It's metami ba'ohel. Even meisei akum, if you hold the machlokes ha'tanai, whether meisei akum are metami ba'ohel, even if you hold like Reb Shimon bar Yochai, that meisei akum are not metami ba'ohel, it's metami b'maga b'masa, and you tell me for 7 days and eat hazor shlishi shvi. The machashiv the animal is while it's alive, so the bigger the tumah is. So Mesa Yisrael have more tumah than Mesa Yakum, and Mesa Yakum have more tumah than Behema and Chaya, and Behema Chaya have more tumah than the Shmoneh Shvatzim, they're rodents, the Shmoneh Shvatzim, they're bugs, and the Shmoneh Shvatzim have more tumah than Oaf, Nibla Saifton. Nibla Saifton is not Bitame at all. So the Torah says, Ubin Iblasim Loisi go. You shouldn't touch the Nevela because you become Tomei. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim and the Torah's Kohanim. What do you mean, b'nevelosim lo sigo? Even a Meis Adam, only Kohanim are prohibited from being the Tomei. So here it says, b'nevelosim lo sigo, no one's allowed to touch a Nevela, become Tomei. Why not? Pashas, even Kohanim are permitted. Even Kohanim are not Muzer on Tumas, only Kohanim are not allowed to come in contact with Meis Adam. But Meis of the Behemah, you are allowed to touch. How come it says, b'nevelosim lo sigo? Rabbi Professor Shaul Lieberman used to be in the Jewish Theological Seminary. So he was married to the daughter of Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan. Meir Bar Ilan was an uncle of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. He was much younger than Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. He was born to the Netziv from his second wife. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. And Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan was a son of the Netziv. Rabbi Chaim Berlin and Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan were half brothers. They had the same father, had a different mother. So Professor Shaul Lieberman from the seminary was married to the daughter of Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan. So on rare occasions, Rabbi Soloveitchik would meet up with him at a bris, a family simcha or something. So on one occasion, Rabbi Soloveitchik came to the yeshiva. He said, "What is he? How can I chine it?" He says, he asked him, "What do you do? There's a tshuvas hagoyim that says that Kohanim are not permitted to be metamei to a dead mouse. What do you do with that tshuva?" So Soloveitchik said, "What do you do? It's wrong. What do you have to worry about?" He said, "My grandfather Rabbi Chaim knew how to learn better than most of the goyim. Most of the goyim were fundraisers. The president of the yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva is Gon Yaakov. Some of them were famous. They knew how to learn. Some of them didn't know how to learn. It's a mistake, Einstein. But that's the question. That b'nevelosim lo sigo. What does it mean? An iser? Even Kohanim are permitted to be metame to nivlas behema. What did he mean? Well, that's months ago. So Rashi quotes the Gemara, Rashi Shana, it goes beregel. Chayev adam entire atzma beregel. So the Shagasari has a tshuva, in the regular Shagasari, that's quoted in the Shari Tshuva, next to the Behetim, in Hilchas Yontif, that chayev adam entire atzma beregel only applies to bizmancha bizamigdush hayakam. There was a chayev aliyah the regel. You have to enter into the Azor. If you're going to be Tom, you can't enter into the Azor. And then you can't eat, you have to bring Gimel mitzvahs and Tzavi Sob Aliyosim Laregel, when the Jewish people visited the Beis Hamikdash on Shalosh Shigol, they were chayiv to bring three karbonos, Olos Riyah Shamei Chagiga and Shamei Simcha. If you're going to be in a state of Tumah, you can't visit the Azor, you can't eat the karbonos. So of course, chayiv adam entire atzma beregel, that's what the posik means. So the Shagazari says the din doesn't apply bizman hazeh, it only applies bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim. So this is an issue, because the Rosh in the end of Yuma quotes Rav Sadia Goyen. Rav Sadia Goyen says that when you go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, you say bracha shekhar shalom and so tzivano ala tfilo. So the Rosh understood that it's based on chayiv adam entire atzma beregel. So the question is, on Yom Kippur there's no chayiv aliyah l'regel. Chayiv adam entire atzma beregel only makes sense the other yamim type. Beis Hel Shavuos does make sense Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. To be able to regal. So what do you mean? Why did Rav Sadia Gaon only write it on Erev Yom Kippur? So others say that that's not what he meant. He didn't mean Chayiv Adam. The pasuk says, "Lefnei Hashem Titor, ki bayam zechav mitaresmo kol chatzeichem." Lefnei Hashem Titor. The last three words in the pasuk, "Lefnei Hashem Titor." So the Ramban, in the end of Yuma, the Ramban, Chidush Ramban learns, Lefnei Hashem Tetor, before Yom Kippur enters, you should recite Vidui. Tetor, you should purify your soul by reciting Vidui. The Iker Din of Vidui is when you mekabel Kedushas Hayoyim and Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, we're afraid, if he's going to wait to say Vidai after the Suda HaMavsekas, something may come up. His wife may ask him to take on the garbage, and one of the babies may cry, and it may come late to Shul, and it'll already be Yom Kippur. So he will not fulfill the mitzvah of reciting Vidai on Erev Yom Kippur. So that's why they introduce that you should recite Vidai in Mincha before the Suda HaMavsekas. But in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham quotes to Shalom, who says, based on the Ramban, after the Suda HaMavsekas, if you don't come late to Shul, they introduce Vidui by Mincha before Suda HaMavsekas, just in case you come late. But if you didn't come late, then everybody should say Vidui in Shul after the Suda HaMavsekas. That's the Kedina Vidui, Lefnei Hashem Tetoru, to purify yourselves on Erev Yom Kippur, purify yourselves by reciting Vidui. So the Rosh HaShulchan and others understand Rav Sadia Gaon didn't mean Chayav Adam Atai Ratzma Beregel, that's why you have to go to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. No, that doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh. It only applies to the Shavuos Regalim. He only meant on Yom Kippur. He understood Lefnei Hashem Titorah Din Daraisa. You have to go to the mikveh. Titorah doesn't mean purify your soul by reciting Vidui. Lefnei Hashem Titorah means before Yom Kippur enters, you should be tovel at the mikveh. That's why he only said it on Yom Kippur. But others understand the Rav Sadia Gaon like the Rosh understood at the very end of Yuma. Lefnei Hashem he meant Chayav Adam Tahor Atzma Beregel, and it's unrelated to the din of Aliyah LeRegel. If a person will be Tahor, so he will be able to be influenced by the Kedushas Hayom to a greater extent. If he's in a state of Tumah, so the Kedushas Hayom of Yantav will not have that strong an effect. What about Shabbos? So by many Hasidim, many people go to Mikveh every Erev Shabbos. Other Acharonim say, no, only Yontif. Shabbos has such a powerful Kedusha, has a higher Kedusha than Yontif, so Shabbos will have the same effect on you even if you're in a state of Tumah. You only have to go to Mikveh Erev Yontif, because Yontif, the Kedusha of Yontif is lower, Kedusha Yom Kippur is a lower level than Shabbos, so if you're in a state of Tumah, it won't have such a great effect on you. That's how others interpret this this Rav Sadia Gaon. Anyway, that's an issue. Then when the Torah lists off all the non-kosher birds, it lists off Bas HaYa'ano. Why only female? Only a female Ya'ano? What about a male Ya'ano? It's also a trefa bird. Why does it say Bas HaYa'ano? So the Gemara and Eilu Trefus understand Bas HaYa'ano means Beitzo Seif Tomei. If an ostrich, a yan is an ostrich, we assume, if a non-kosher bird lays an egg, so you're not allowed to eat the egg, that's called hayotze min atomei tomei. The milk from a non-kosher animal is not kosher, and the eggs from a non-kosher bird are also treif. Eagle's eggs, you're not allowed to eat. Ostrich eggs, that's learned out from the pasuk basayana. If you eat an eagle's egg, or if you drink milk from a non-kosher animal, you get malchus. Is there a lava or is just an iseresi? So that's a big machlokes. Tosfos and Chulin, Rav Chaim points out in his sefer on the Rambam, before he gets into any pilpulim, he points out, the Rambam says beferish, there's only an iseresi. There's no lava. If you eat chol abeim with meya, or beitza seif tam, it's an iseresi, but there's no lava. And Tosfos says not so. Tosfos says that you're loike. If you have beitza seif tam, you would be loike. Hayotze min ha-tame, hayotze min ha-tame means a non-kosher, tame means behemoth tameya, a non-kosher animal. That's a Mishnah, hayotze, Mishnah in the first parak in Chorus. Hayotze min ha-tohar tohar, hayotze min ha-tame tame. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik spoke, he gave shiurim on Mishnah Yischala. Mishnah Yischala is only four brokim. He had a surgery, he had a cancer surgery. And after the cancer surgery, so the doctor told me he should take it easy. He used to give two shiurim. He used to come in from Boston, he used to give a shiur on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and he went back to Boston. He used to give two shiurim on Monday morning and two shiurim on... Say again. He used to give two shiurim on Tuesday morning to the students, one shiur for the smicha students, one shiur for the undergraduates. Then Tuesday night he gave a shiur for the balabatim. Then Wednesday morning he gave two shiurim on two different mesichtas. one shiur for the smicha students, 2 hours, one shiur, 2 hours for the undergraduates, and then he would fly back, he would go back to Boston. So the doctor told him after his surgery he should only give one shiur and he should pick an easy topic. So the next year, so that year, it was the middle of Yeridah. He was giving shiurim that year, Yeridah and Psochim. So he gave up the shiur in Psochim, other people said it, and the shiur in Yeridah, after he was out for a couple of months, and then when he came back, he finished the year. Then the next year, he had to learn something easy, so he learned Arachayim, Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, Tzitzis and Tfilin. Then the end of the year, he learned Mishnayos Challah, 4 prokim. They made a siyum on Mishnayos Challah in the middle of July. He gave shiurim whenever he wanted. He used to give shiur Chalamoid. Nobody flew away. Everybody lived in the neighborhood. So he announced he's giving shiur Chalamoid. So everybody came. So now it would be Shaykh. No one stays on for Chalamoid. So he finished the Mishnayos Challah, 4 prokim. He said it's the first time in his life that he ever made a siyum on anything. And he threw a party. So his wife came and she bought cake from the Breuer's bakery. And she bought soda, and the SOI didn't sponsor it. He paid for everything. And I remember what he said then. He was talking about the different levels of Kedusha. The different levels of Kedusha. So he said, why do you need so many different levels of Kedusha? Why don't you just say there's Kodesh and Chol? Say, Tefillin Shel Rosh has more Kedusha than Tefillin Shel Yad. Tefillin has more Kedusha than Mezuzah, because the Tefillin has Dalet Parashah, and Mezuzah only has 2 Parashiyos. And the Sefer Torah is more Kedusha than the Tefillin. Why do you say so many levels? Just say there's Kodesh and Chol. He says, you can't say that, because just like Ayotzim and Atohar Tohar, Ayotzim and Atomit Thomas, Ayotzim and Kodesh is Kodesh. So the Baruch Shalom is holy. So the Baruch Shalom created the whole world, so everything in the world is holy. So Ayotzim and Kodesh, Kodesh. So why do we call it Chol? So we call it Chol because it's the lowest level of Kodesh. So everything depends on levels. Everything is Kodesh. The Baruch Shalom created the whole world. Ayotzim and Kodesh is Kodesh. The answer is, we call it Chol because it's the lowest level of Kodesh, we call Chol. So that's why you have to have different levels. Yeah. So what's the din? Let's say, I have truma, I was mafid truma, and I plant it in the ground, and it grows. So that's called gidulei truma. So the Gemara said, that's only gidulei truma is truma midirabon, but in Torah it's not truma. So Tosfos and other Rishayim and Rav Shem Mishkov Pazim and Shav Yosha discussing of this, why don't you say Gedulei Truma should be Truma Min HaTorah, because Ayotze Min HaOser Oser, the Truma was Oser Lazarim. So if you planted it and the new Truma, the new Peres grow from it, why don't you say Ayotze Min HaOser is Oser, the new stuff? That's a whole discussion in the Shav Yosha, Rav Shem and Sefer. When do you apply by Gidulim? When do you apply this? When is it an Issa Deraisa Yotze? When is it an Issa Derabon? When is it not even a Din Minerabon? That's a whole discussion. Then you have at the end of the Sedra, you have a lot of Dinim of Tuma Vitara. The 4 things are Makabal Tuma, Adam Mikhailim Ochel Mamashkin. Adam Mikhailim can have Tara Ben Mikveh, except for Kli Cheres, Yishover. Other Kelim also, if you smash it, it'll be tov, but the other Kelim, you don't have to smash. You can be tovel in the mikveh. But if you tovel it in the mikveh, you have to wait till Harav Shemesh. If you smash it, then you don't have to wait till Harav Shemesh. So Gemara says, Heleni Hamalka was Jewish. She was the sister of Shimon Meshetach. Shimon Meshetach was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. His sister was married to the Meshugana, to Yanai HaMelech. He was crazy. So Gemara says she planned to have a whole party. And everything, all the Kli Matechas became Tomei. So she didn't want to be Toivel everything and wait to have Harav Shemesh. She wanted to have the party today. So she had them break all of the forks and the knives and glue them back together again. If you break it, you don't have to wait till Harav Shemesh. So on that occasion, the Chachamim were not happy, so they made a Chumra Midirabon, that's called Tuma Yishana. If a Kli Mateches was Tome, and you broke it, and then you soldered it back together again, it restores back to its original Tuma Midirabon. And I told you, there is no such thing. In the Rabbanim, that's called Tuma Yishana. So the Gemara talks a lot about that. But the din of Shviras HaKelim, the Chumash only has Shviras HaKelim by Kli Cheres, because it has no Tara B'Mikveh. But it applies to all the other kelim. If you break any kli, you smash it, and then you glue it back together again, so I'm in a Torah, it's tohar, it doesn't have any tumah. The law of the dinim ha-mikvah is all based on the psukim. Okay, I apologize, I have to leave early today. Sunday I will be out of town, I'm coming back Monday morning. So believe that, on Monday morning we will continue in Perek Cheskas Habatim.